Welcome to Vineyard Church Dungannon, a place where lives are being changed. The following message was given at one of our Sunday gatherings. For more information, visit vineyarddungannon.co.uk.
Okay, good morning, everybody. So last week, we had the privilege of having Dawn with us. We had Dawn with us last week. Is that okay, Paul?
Yep.
And he was speaking on about how Jesus is for everyone. But today, I have the privilege of investigating and looking at wisdom and saying is wisdom for everybody as well. And if you just move on to the next slide. So we have lots of different misconceptions about wisdom. What is wisdom? Where do we get wisdom? How do we get wisdom? And these are some of the things we might think of. So we might think of, oh, I know somebody who is really wise. I know, with age comes great wisdom that I have used many, many times. Or maybe it's somebody's personality. They just have wisdom within them, or it's a gifting that they might have. But doing all my study into this, I realised that there was another part that with age comes great wisdom, and that is sometimes age just comes. And that was a daunting thought. I thought, oh, how many times have I said that to people? That with age comes great wisdom. But as I say, with my research and study, I realised that sometimes it's just age that comes. And that is the thing that we want to look at today. And so how can we get wisdom that it's not just an age thing? So go on there. Thank you. So then what truly is wisdom? There's a dictionary definition that it's that knowledge of what is true and right, coupled with just judgment and action. So you've got to do something. You know, knowing is not enough. You've got to do something with what you know. But then the godly definition of it is that harmony with created order and God's redemptive work. That we know that God is sovereign. He's sovereign over everything and for what Jesus has done for us on the cross and leaving with us his Holy Spirit. So then if we look into what wisdom looks like in the Old Testament and the New Testament, how it's different. So with the Old Testament, people were being called to wisdom, as well as Israel's failure to live by that wisdom. That there was that saving role, though not redemptive, and wisdom was leading that life of virtue. But then if we look into the New Testament wisdom then, it was reorientated around Christ. Jesus is our ultimate source of wisdom. It's nothing to do with age or personality or any of those things. Those Old Testament motives related to wisdom were fulfilled and reconfigured. And Christ is sovereign Lord of the whole universe. And it's reoriented around the cross. And this sets a brand new pattern for life. Life is now made abundantly possible through Christ. Not just possible, but abundantly possible. And then if we dig a little bit deeper, God tells us everything we need to know about wisdom. And this next slide is our really key verses about wisdom today. So in James 1, verses 5 to 8, it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, simply you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. So he lays it out there. The Bible is full of different verses all about wisdom, but this is just the one that we're focusing on today. And there's so many different things to unpack from this. So if we move on to the next slide, it shows us then, what will our lives look like if we are truly living for Jesus and truly living and listening to his words? What would our life look like? And if you just look at all those different things, what would our homes, what would our schools, what would our churches and our communities look like if we were all displaying God's wisdom? Showing honor to everybody. Not drawing attention to ourselves. Striving to have those untarnished motives. Agreeing to respectfully disagree. Considering the feelings of others before we act. Giving second chances to others because those have been given to us. Showing fairness to all we encounter
and being truly sincere, being authentic, honest, and full of integrity. It says in James 3, verse 13 to 18, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice." So then if we go on to the next one, thank you. So if wisdom is so vitally important for our every breathing moment, how do we get it, or where do we get it from? So in James, the verse that we've just read, it very clearly says it's free choice. God never pushes anything upon us, never. He just loves us so much. He wants to give us that choice. So it is a free choice. It is that invite, but unfortunately, some people won't accept that invitation. But as a church, as a people, we need to choose wisdom. In Ephesians 3, verse 10, it says that the manifold wisdom of God is made known to the church, even in the heavenly place. Because of the church's missional role, God's wisdom needs to shape our lives, both in the church and wherever we find ourselves all week. We are to let the word of Christ indwell us so we can instruct each other in all wisdom. Those outside the church will see that we do walk in wisdom and think deeply about how we live. These are people who are truly wise that it talks about in Ephesians 5. And it's this wisdom that enables us as believers to lead these joyous, submissive lives, even in the midst of trials. And then another thing I say to my kids, and my kids are very fed up, we say this all the time, but we are always free to choose, but never free from the consequences. So as I said before, if we don't choose wisdom and we don't choose to listen to God and the things that he tells us, there are those eternal consequences. So then next slide. So where do we find this then? How can we find out about it? So simply in the scriptures and the prompting of the Holy Spirit as we read the scriptures. I could read a verse and somebody else could read a verse, but God will speak to you completely differently, even though the words are exactly the same. It's a living, breathing word of God, and it's available to everybody. And if you find it hard to read the words, listen to them. There's so many apps and different things out there that you can listen to it. Listen to it in the car, listen to it on a walk, read it, or if, like me, you love pictures as well, there's even a way now that you can read the Bible through lots of pictures that it's easier for you to understand. But there's so many different ways that you can read the Bible, but just to get it into your head and to filtrate into your heart. So Psalm 111, verse 10, it says, "The beginning of true wisdom is found when we fear the Lord. That reverence and awe for God, that submissive fear, is foundational to that spiritual knowledge and wisdom. And we'll grow in wisdom when we obey God." Just like parents, we expect our kids to obey us because we see the path ahead, which they don't. And as children obey their parents, they grow in wisdom and learn what their parents advised them was ultimately for their good. So if we as parents know how to do that, can you imagine what our Heavenly Father sees ahead every single day, every single step? And he ultimately knows, as a sovereign God, what is best for us. And then how can we have this wisdom? If we have taken the invite, we are wanting to read the scriptures, then we want to ask God. He said so clearly in that verse that he wants us to ask him. And he gives generously without disappointment or disapproval. It doesn't matter if you've done something wrong with 5 minutes ago or a week ago. You know, he wants us to ask for that wisdom, and he is delighted when we ask for it. We receive wisdom when we ask. We literally ask God, and he doesn't ask any questions. He won't judge us. He's just so pleased that we aim to live these wise lives filled with his truth. So another favorite verse of mine would be Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 to 7, because remember very clearly as a little girl, my granny had it up in her house, and I looked at it all the time and tried to understand what it truly meant. And it's only now as I've reached an adult that I can understand it more. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, submit to him and he will make your paths straight. So trials drive us to God as they show our inadequacy. It is not for selfish ambition, but godly wisdom is filled with meekness. This is the opposite of arrogance or self-promotion that it talks about in James 5. When we're going through trials, you would think that we need to ask for strength or for grace or for deliverance, but it's wisdom, so we don't waste any opportunity that God is giving us to mature. My experience of asking God for wisdom, a bigger one and a smaller one, I was starting to complete my master's degree, and just about November time, I heard God very clearly say, Sharon, you're trying to seek so much in earthly wisdom and reading and reading and reading. Anybody who knows me, I read far too much. God really said to me, you know, Sharon, there's so much more heavenly wisdom that I want you to learn. But again, I thought about it, and that was November. And as the months went on, I definitely was getting more overwhelmed with things at work, studying at home. It was just all getting so much. So about February time, I started to remember what God had told me about this heavenly wisdom. And I just made the decision, okay, I think God wants me to leave the master's for now. I didn't know why. And if anybody that knows me would know what a struggle that was for me, because I thought, I don't like to fail. I really don't like to fail. And I thought by pulling out now, because there's only months really before I would finish it, but I felt, what do? Do I listen to man and think, oh, she's been a failure, she's jumped out of that so quickly? Or do I listen to a heavenly father who ultimately knows what's ahead that I don't? So I did. I made the decision. And literally within minutes, I felt so much lighter that I just could feel in that moment that I had stepped into the will of God, that I had listened to the voice of the Father who ultimately loves me and wants the best for me. And then in the smaller things, in the daily things, just even asking God every single morning and every single moment, I don't know how many times in my workplace I go to the toilets and just say, Lord, I'm not sure what to do next, but I really need your direction and your wisdom. And he always gives it every single moment, no matter how much you think it's not going to happen. He always comes through. So even in our small daily moments, that you might not get some big radical moment or some big blueprint for your life as you dream or sleep at night, but God will, as we see in the next slide, if we truly believe and truly trust, God will give us what we need because he ultimately loves us and he wants to give us that wisdom. So then, yeah, just like I've been talking about, we have to choose that faith over doubting. Instead of being like a wave in the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind, we can't see the wind that is tossing us all over the place, but we can see the effects in comparison to the wind of the Holy Spirit that is truth and wisdom. It says he is double-minded and unstable in all ways and never able to settle. Never turn your back on the waves. They are down, they are up, and we can be utterly drenched by it. Prayer must be offered with that confident trust, like we said about maybe in the first or second slide, in this sovereign God. Ultimately, we have a sovereign God, not divided thinking as in mental indecision, but an inner moral conflict or distrust in God. And then the next slide then. So then what happens if we don't act with wisdom in our daily life, moment to moment? We're really rebelling against Jesus. It says in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. For fools, a fool may be brilliant, absolutely amazing genius with an amazing high IQ, yet still be a moral fool. According to scripture, a moral fool is someone who is spiritually dull. It talks about that in Isaiah chapter 6. These verses express judgment from a sovereign God on people who have played with the truth. Even in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15, fools think their own way is right, but the wise listen to others. Those thoughts, those insights and suggestions of godly people who live our lives alongside us. Even in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 16, the fool rageth and is confident, They may be an extrovert with a savage temper. They rage and are confident, just like Job's wife, an excellent example of this in Job chapter 2. She tells Job to curse God and die because he had all those boils from head to toe. But her attitude towards God and her reverence indicated she was a foolish woman. And in this passage, it's the last time that we ever hear of her. So we might enjoy temporary pleasure from possessions, money. Employing wisdom in our decisions will bring greater return. There's no price tag that we can put on God's peace manifesting itself on a truly wise man. And that double-mindedness, having our souls divided. So sometimes we seek God's wisdom, but sometimes we just want to seek the world's wisdom. A hypocrite who occasionally believes in God, but fails to trust him when the trials come, and therefore receives nothing. It was doubt that made Peter sink in the waves as he was talking to Jesus in Matthew 14. When Peter started that walk of faith, he kept his eyes on Christ. But when he was distracted by the waves and the wind, he stopped walking by faith and he started to sink. He was double-minded and almost drowned. So rebellion will have eternal consequences. But there is good news. With God, there's always good news. In Proverbs 1, chapter 23, it says, "Turn up my reproof, and I will pour out my spirit onto you." So not even a little drips. Pour out my spirit onto you. "I will make known my words unto you." And this can just happen in an instant. All we have to do is to say sorry for all those wrong things that we've done, thought, and said, and believe that Christ died and rose again to take away our sins that lead us into eternal life, because he loves us so much. And this is what we can do today, because receiving this wisdom transforms our lives forever. Don't be afraid to ask for wisdom in every moment, because in James chapter 4 it says, "He giveth more grace. He also gives more and more wisdom. Never stop learning and growing in wisdom." God just wants to see that posture of learning. And when we listen and obey God's wisdom, we're following God's will for our lives. And this is the best place to be, at the center of God's will and favor. So baptism that we're being part of today, this is one mark of obedience to God. And it's declaring to everybody, "I am set on following my Lord and Savior every single day of my life." And then the next slide, just. So in conclusion, we all need wisdom, or more wisdom, or fresh wisdom. So what can we do? Spending that time with God, seeking God and listening to God, thirsting after him as we sit around our tables, as we walk and talk, just walking in obedience, just like these young people are doing today, praying and asking God for wisdom as well. And then just the next slide then. So then, what is your next wisdom step? What is it that you need to do, any of these different things? Do you need to know God as your Lord and Savior? You can talk to somebody maybe you've come with today, or talk to one of us in the senior management team. Do you need to say sorry for living the way of this selfish way that you've not been thinking about anybody else, only yourself? Do you need to ask for that godly wisdom beyond our imagination to make the impossible possible? Or do you need God's wisdom as you go into the next few days? So yeah, just watch in awe with these young people. It says in 1 Corinthians 1 verse 27, it says, "God uses the weak to shame the strong." We often think of our young people and kids as being the weak ones. And as we transition into our baptismal time, how amazing to see that these young people are showing us that they truly love God. They want to hear from God. They want God's wisdom in their life and at the center of everything that they do. So they are leading the way. So just to reread that verse again that we read in Proverbs chapter 3, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight." So let's commit to this today. As a people, as a church, as a community, as a town, let's ask for wisdom, believe we have it, and live each moment in the obedience of God. Proverbs 2, I just want to leave you with the verses from God's words, not mine. Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He holds success in store for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk, whose walk is blameless. For he guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. Then you will understand what is right and just and fair, every good path. For wisdom will enter your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For all the latest information on what's happening in the life of our church, visit vineyarddungannon.co.uk.